We talked this morning about God's house being a house of prayer.
Amen.
And prayer being the foundation.
Amen.
Of all that we are in God. Prayer is the oil that keeps the equipment, the machinery working.
Amen.
When you pray, you become more and more acquainted with your Father, more and more acquainted with your Savior, more and more acquainted with the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
And as you're acquainted with Him, you can hear and obey.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, some preacher said so profoundly, he said, "My brother and sister, you can't do anything you don't know how to do." Never will forget it. Can't do anything you don't know how to do. Well, we're going to learn some things about prayer, how to pray. Because God answers prayer. He says, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and doors shall be opened unto you." Doesn't say ask and you might receive.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we pray like we're trying to talk God into helping us.
Come on.
And sometimes we beg and we plead. But God said, "If you ask me."
Yes.
If you ask me.
Yes.
So if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, if I have His word in me and I go full of faith, because His word brings faith. Faith comes by hearing. You know you can't pray the prayer of faith without faith. And faith comes by hearing. So if we hear the word of the living God, and then we go to ask, we can be assured of His answer. Now we were in Kenya, Africa, a month of this year, and I learned something about the scripture there because most of the houses are gated. These huge iron gates, and in the middle of that huge iron gate is a little bitty door. And when somebody comes to that door, if they know you, they have guards who stand at that gate all the time. If they know who you are, the guard automatically will let you in. But if he doesn't know you, you don't get to come in. Now, we had basket sales ladies, I guess they were. They had hand weave these baskets, and they came to sell baskets. And they knocked on the door, but they didn't get in because nobody knew who they were. But they went out, introduced themselves, and talked to them, found out what they wanted, and we went out and bought a few baskets. Well, the next time they knocked the door, guess what? The guard let them in because he knew who they were.
Amen.
Now, when I knock on the door of heaven, I'm not a stranger to Almighty God.
Amen.
He knows me.
Amen.
He knows who I am.
Amen.
That's why I said, "Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Because you're a child of the King. You're in the kingdom of light. Jesus is your Savior and Lord. You're known in heavenly places.
Amen.
And the door automatically opens up to you. He says, "Come on in, Becky, come on in."
Come on in. Amen.
The disciples wanted to learn to pray, and they said, "Teach us to pray." Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name."
Yes.
That entire prayer never mentions the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
It only says, "Our Father which art in heaven."
Yes.
But before Jesus left, he gave them a new order of prayer.
Yes.
And he said, "Don't ever do what you've done before. Don't do it that way." He said, "Hitherto, up till now, you've not done it this way." In other words, he's going to give them something new to do.
Yes.
Some new way to do. And what he's going to do is give them the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, when you go to knock on that door with the mighty name of Jesus,
yes,
that's the name of the family of God.
Amen.
That's our family name. Who are you?
Yes.
And when you use that name,
yes,
God says, "I hear that."
Amen.
I hear that.
Yes.
And this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
Yes.
God is not hard of hearing.
Amen.
He's not dumb either.
Amen.
And He loves you.
Amen.
Now, there was this year a lady with a disability, a wheelchair, bound in a wheelchair, that had a disability dog that knew 125 commands. Fascinating. It was in the newspaper. Fascinating story. Well, she had epileptic seizures, and the dog would alert her when she's fixing to have a seizure. He knew that. So she went to bed one night, put herself in bed, and the dog was restless. He's supposed to sit in one spot and watch her all night, but he kept getting up and down, up and down, up and down. Well, she couldn't figure out, because she could recognize the usual signal, "You're fixing to have a seizure," but this wasn't that signal. And she goes through all the 125 commands that she knew that he knew, and this was something totally new, something totally different. She couldn't figure it out. So she decided there must be some stranger in the yard. And so she got up, put herself back in the wheelchair, rolled into the kitchen, where she fell out of her wheelchair, had something different from her usual seizure, and fell into unconsciousness. Now, see, if you're known to the King of Glory, He hears you.
Amen.
He knows your cry. He knows your voice. He said, "Ask me, Becky, ask me, ask me, ask me, ask me." So the dog just goes to the telephone, mashes a button, begins to bark. Fascinating. The lady on the other end picked up his voice and saw the address on the computer screen, and she says to the dog who's barking over the phone, "I hear you and I'm coming."
Amen.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I love that. I love that. I love that. I said, "I hear you." So the dog goes to the window, waits for the EMT team to roll up, opens the door for him. And they said she would have been dead today if it hadn't been for that wonderful dog.
Amen.
Now we have a Father in heaven.
Yes.
Who knows all things. We'd be dead today if it wasn't for him.
Amen.
But we're not without him.
Amen.
We don't have to drag around with our lower lip hanging out. Oh, nobody knows.
Go ahead.
The trouble I've seen. Because you can ask and receive.
Yes.
You can ask and receive.
Yes.
You can ask and receive.
Hallelujah.
Now this is a house of prayer.
Yes.
My daughter sent us today a house, a large 1910 Victorian that they moved by barge across the Little Manatee River. And it was called the Blue House. Now why do you suppose they called it the Blue House? Because it was blue. Now, you wouldn't call it the pink house or the red house or the purple house or the green house. It was blue, and they called it the blue house. They moved the blue house, a 1910, to a new location. Well, why do you suppose God called this the house of prayer? Because it's supposed to be prayer here.
It's
supposed to be prayer here. It's not a blue house if it's a green house. It's not a house of prayer if nobody's praying. And if we're assured that God answers prayer. I mean, if we know he does. I sing to myself all the time, asking it shall be given unto you. Seek Becky, you shall find. Knock on the door, shall be opened unto me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And God says, I hear you. I'm coming. That's why I sing, because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh, I don't mean I've never had a problem. I mean I know he who solves them. Now, when we pray, we don't pray the problem. Oh, Lord, you know Sister Myrtle's having surgery again. Second surgery, Lord, you know that. You know how poorly she did last time, Lord? She almost died. Well, you know, they kept her in the hospital extra week. All we've done is review the facts with the Lord, who didn't need a review, by the way. He knew exactly what happened last time. But when we go to ask him, when we go in confidence,
yes,
we say, Father, Sister Myrtle is a candidate for healing one more time.
Yes.
And I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus she is healed.
Yes.
And you sent your word and healed her, and no
Amen.
Weapon formed against her prospers.
Right.
And I take God the solution.
Yes.
I don't have to whine. You know, little kids whine. Immaturity whines. Please, Mama, please, Mama. Oh, God, please, God, please, God, please, God. I know that because people come. And they beg and they plead with God. You don't have to beg God to help you. Your Father will help you. He didn't say, ask and see if I'm in a good mood. Ask me if I don't have a headache. Or ask if I've had my coffee already. But when you talk to God, you come according to his word. We come with his promise. You don't have to sing the sad song. But you can sing that glad song. You can say, I stand in awe of you. Why? Because he answers. I stand in awe of you because he comes. Now, if we know that, that makes us good prayer people.
Amen.
And yet sometimes we're just a little overwhelmed by our problem. We spend so much time looking at the problem that we forget to look at the God who answers.
Amen.
But if we look at the God who answers, we've got no problem.
Hallelujah.
Now if I call my father, he's 85, and say, Daddy, I need $500, and he said, I'll bring it Saturday, or you can come get it Saturday. Then if Wayne says, do we have the money? I said, yes, we have it. And I haven't seen it. I haven't touched it. I've got no proof, but I have the word of my father.
Yes. Right.
And he said he had it, and he said he'd bring it to me. So I have it.
Amen.
I'm not worried about it. I'm not concerned. The fact that I don't see it, the fact that my body doesn't feel any better, doesn't make any difference to me. Because God said, ask.
Yes.
Ask.
Yes.
Ask.
Yes.
Said, you have not because you ask not. Now, 3 or 4 weeks ago, my stove died. Just absolutely died. They don't make appliances like they used to. Years ago, my refrigerator died, and I whined so at the man that came to repair it, and he said, "Lady, this refrigerator is 23 years old, and it's not coming back to life." I couldn't believe it. I said, 23 years old, how could that be? Well, my stove died. I was thinking about that this morning when Pastor was preaching about prosperity. We've lived 3 or 4 weeks without a stove. We don't even have a stove. We did go out and look, and I said, "Whew, I'm not paying that for a stove. You can forget it." So every now and then we cook at home. I send it out to the grill. Or I put it in the microwave. Thank God the microwave still works. I thought, I wonder if I said, "God, your baby needs a new stove."
Yes.
If he could manage that, if he could handle that, if he could do that for me. I just wonder if I'd ask him. You know why I don't have a new stove? I haven't asked for one yet.
That's right.
I'm just bumping along. I was going to fix spaghetti one day, and I thought, I got it all out, and I thought, well, no, spaghetti won't work. So then I have to fix for my father occasionally, and I was going to fix cornbread. That's what they like, and I got out my ingredients, and I thought, where are you going to bake that? So we didn't get any cornbread. I wonder if God wants me to wander through the heat and through the cold without a stove, or if I'd ask him, he'd say, "I hear you. I'm coming, I hear you. I hear you. I'm coming." I bet he would. Now you understand, I'm not too much of a huff about my stove yet. But I may get there. But I'm not waiting on God. He's waiting on me. He's waiting on me. So what do you need, Becky? What can I do for you? How can I help you? And what we do is sing a sad song. My stove's broke. My stove's broke. Oh, Lord, my stove doesn't work. What will I do? What will I do? My stove is dead, you see. My oven, Lord, no cakes, which probably be good for me. My oven, Lord, no cakes, you see. My oven, Lord, no cornbread can be. Oh, Lord, what do we do? And we just sing a sad song and mope and groan. Ah, what are we ever going to do with this old car? It never works right. Won't you ask God for a new one?
Amen. That's right.
You know, I think we like complaining. That's what I think. I think we're comfortable with our complaining. We just think, oh. You know, sometimes it's hard to figure out what's wrong with me. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what's wrong with Wayne. And all the time I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with you guys. I say, "You have a headache?" "No, not really." "Is your knee bothering you again?" "No, not today." "So were you having any more car trouble?" "No, it's working fine. We had it fixed." "Well, what's the problem?" "Well, I don't know." "You heard from your children?" "Yeah." "Things going well?" "Yeah." "Your granddaughter got that?" "Yeah, we fixed that." "Well, what's the problem?" "Well, I don't know." I think we just like unhappiness. I think we're happy with our unhappiness, happy with our complaining, happy with our whining. Such a small thing to ask and receive. You know, if you had asked and received for you, then you could help me.
Amen.
Sometimes we're so busy with our own dilemma, we can't help the man who really does have a dilemma. But if we'd learn to pray and have God move in our life and meet our need, and he will. Oh, he will, he will, he will, he will, he will, he will. And it says, when you pray, believe you receive. Not hope you receive, not cross your fingers. It says, believe that.
That's right. That is right.
Why? Because God said, ask. What did he say?
Ask.
Did you do that? Did you ask? Then you got it. What if God says no? Who told you God would say no? I told you, some unbelieving preacher told you God might say no.
Amen.
Sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level with the ground. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes maybe wait a while. And if you go to find that in the scripture, you'll be looking for weeks and weeks and weeks. You'll be looking next time I'm here because it's not in there. Because every promise of God is yes. And when I speak the word of God, if I abide in him, his word abides in me. He says, yes, Lord, yes. He says, I hear you, Becky, I'm coming. He always says, I hear you, I'm coming, I hear you, I'm coming. I love that about God. He loves me. He loves me. Why are we reluctant? Why do we draw back? Why do in our prayer our hand is sometimes slack? Why do we wait so long when to him we do belong? When we could trust and obey, and God would say, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Now that's real easy. We can tend to ourselves. We were raised under this old saying, nobody's heard it, I guess. Every tub sits on its own bottom. You know what that means? It means nobody's going to help you. And sometimes we go whining to other people when we've really not done our own praying. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. You got a problem? You tend to it. Don't bother me. Unless when you tended to it, you needed help. You needed agreement. You needed somebody of faith and substance to say, he is coming. And you know those little basket salesmen came to the door the first time, they didn't get in the gate. Second time they got in the gate. Third time they fed them. Took them out something to eat. Because the Kenyans walk for miles and miles and miles and go a lot of times with no meal or one meal a day. And they fed them. Why? Because God does exceeding abundantly above all you ask. Now, the scripture doesn't say a lot of different things. I know it looks like a really big book, but it says a few things many different ways. And it doesn't matter if God does exceeding abundantly above, or if he does good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, or if the windows of heaven open, pour you out a blessing, there's not room enough to receive it. Or if you have enough for yourself, enough left over for every good work, that's in Corinthians. All of those expressions mean the same thing. It means God's got it. Just means God's got it. God's got it. And if you'd ask, it would be given unto you. You'd seek, you'd find. Knock on the door, somebody opens the door. And Almighty God sees me coming. He wants to bless me. He says, Abraham's blessings are yours. Abraham's blessings are, says, Becky again. He doesn't say, oh, it's Becky again, now what? I don't know about you, but I don't think I've had exceeding abundantly above yet. There's a song out called If You Got More Happy Than Your Heart Can Hold. Have you heard that song? It's a Christian song. It's quite interesting. So I said to Wayne, have you ever had more happy than your heart could hold? And he said, no, I don't think so. I said, Wayne, cumby. What about 1966, like May the 28th? Just giving him a hint. He said, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock on the door, shall be opened unto you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe you have not because you ask not?
Yes.
Now, the minute you ask, the devil comes along and says, not the will of God. Not the will of God.
That's right.
Why don't you do what Jesus did? Stand up to him with the word of the living God.
Amen.
And say, you're under my feet.
Amen.
You're under my feet. He is under your feet. You're the body of Christ. You're God's kid. I can tell by the smile on your face, you're God's kid. Act like God's kid. Throw your shoulders back. Throw your head up high. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? God will part the water like he did for Moses.
Amen.
Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God said, speak to them, they'd move. I love one of the translations. That's Mark 11:23. It says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, move. I like it because it just communicates. God said, it's in your way, I'll move it.
Amen.
Now Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you.
Amen.
Whatever you ask. Now whatever's pretty big, isn't it? God doesn't have any limited resources. I was praying just within the last month. Philippians 4:19. See, we pray the word.
Yes.
Pray the word. Pray the word. Start by praying the word. Take the promises of the living God and pray them. Said, God, you promised to meet our need out of your riches and glory.
Yes.
And I heard in the spirit, unlimited resource.
Yes.
God's got it.
Amen.
Yes.
God's got it.
Amen.
He's got it.
Amen.
And he's not even going to loan it to you. He said, if you ask me.
Amen.
Not even bring that back when you're through with it. No, use it up, wear it out. There's another one where that came from. He's less than enough. He's sort of enough. What'll we ever do? God seldom does come through. He's more than enough.
Amen.
Have you ever eaten more than enough?
Yes.
Wayne comes from a very large family. I mean large family. His mama's little house, we're barely crowded in there. There are about 40 people. That's the inner circle. That's the brothers and sisters and the first layer of children. And when everybody shows up, it looks like somebody's daycare center. And when the food's lined up, because Wayne's mom is a world champion cook, she doesn't cook much anymore. She's also in her 80s, but she's a great cook. And when she was cooking, we would always have chicken and dumplings. We'd always have baked chicken because she doesn't like turkey. We'd always have stuffing. Then we'd always have scalloped corn fresh from the garden because Wayne's dad was a farmer. He's gone to be with the Lord. Then we'd always have steamed okra. We'd always have green beans. We'd always have Jell-O salad, which never made it to the table. It's always left in the refrigerator. After so many years, you just know. You go to the table and you say, is the Jell-O still in the refrigerator? Because it is. And then you'd have potato salad, and then you'd have, Wayne's mama can make a coconut cake. I'm telling you, there's more than enough. More than enough. She makes a pound cake that's not to be equal. Never seen anything like it. I watched her one day. I went down to take pound cake lessons. But she doesn't measure anything. And she put her hand in it. She mixed all it. She put her hand in it. She says, needs another egg. I said, Granny, how'd we know that? She knows it because she's had practice.
That's right. Amen.
See, when I stand in awe of him. When I come into his presence, because I know him. Now, I know Wayne Cumby. You say, does he have a favorite color? No, he didn't. He didn't care what color it is. I know him because we've walked together for 40 years.
Amen.
Our daughter used to cook when she was home. See if you know God. If you know him. So easy to say, here I am, Lord, for a new stove. He said, you want four burners, Becky, or five? Because he's more than enough. Some of the new stoves, you know, have five burners. I probably need but two, but. Sometimes Wayne wants coffee, sometimes he doesn't want coffee. Well, Suzanne did most of the cooking when she was home, and I did the cleaning up. Not sure if that was a good deal or not, but that's the way we did it. And so she said, you know, Mama, I can't tell. Help me. I said, help you what? She said, I looked in Daddy's eyes. How can you tell if it's a coffee day or not? Well, he's on the other side of the wall. I could tell through the wall. I said, put the coffee pot on. He wants coffee. So about 5 minutes later, he said, Suzanne, where's the coffee? She came around. She said, how'd you do that? I said, I know your daddy. I know him. I could tell by the way he sat in his chair and shuffled his feet. Right through the wall, I thought, gotta have coffee. Do you know God? He knows you.
That's right.
He knows you.
Amen.
He knows what you need before you ask.
That's right.
And sometimes we sit around and don't ask because he knows. He's not going to send it till you ask him.
That's right.
So what if you think God would have order overload? Said, whoo, that's enough. Don't say another word. That's all I can hold. You think he'd come to, you know, you can call a catalog company there so we don't have that. We're out of that. Or sometimes they'll say, your credit won't extend to that many items. I wonder if God has credit problems. You think? I don't think so. He's more than enough. So God knows the number of hairs on our head. Some people, that's not much of a challenge. And I'll just walk this way. I just bet you if I said, Lord, I'm ready for my stove now and I'm asking to send it in Jesus' mighty name, he's going to say, what took you so long? Says he knows when a sparrow falls. And we had a cat that was a world champion bird killer. And she thought it was something to be really proud of. And every bird she killed, she'd leave at the back door. She wanted me to say, oh, wonderful. She couldn't understand my disdain. You know, it says God knows when every sparrow falls. Every bird she killed, heaven said, Cumbie's cat. Has done it again. You're not going to take God by surprise. You're not going to catch him unprepared. You're not going to catch him in a bad mood. You know, sometimes we as humans say, I just can't do that today. I'm sorry. That's it. I just can't today. You'll never have that trouble with God. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Why don't you ask him? Now ask in faith, believing. Ask believing that you'd receive. Now this verse, Mark 11:24, is very important. Let me quote it to you. Listen to this. What things soever you desire when you pray that you believe that Mabel receives. See, when we pray the scripture, you've got to pray right. And Mark 11:23 is not 24. It's not the prayer you pray for Mabel.
That's right.
It's whatever you desire when you pray that you believe you'll receive.
Amen.
This is by you, for you, and to you.
Amen.
This is come on, God.
Amen.
And he says, I hear you. See, this is a confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his word, he
hears.
He what?
Hears.
He hears us. Imagine that. Jesus at Lazarus' tomb said, Father, I know that you always hear me. When I go in Jesus' name, he hears me. That name gives me entrance into his presence. The name is the person. If you call my name, I answer. If you get in trouble with the law, they don't put you in jail and let your name go free. They don't take your name away from you and let you go free. You are your name. The scripture is so clear. It says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him. Him, Jesus, the person. Then it goes on to say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now what saves? Is he going to save me or is his name going to save me? They're one and the same thing. And all the assets of heaven are wrapped up in his name. Now, when you borrowed money at the bank, all they took was your name. You wrote it down on a piece of paper. And if you default on your payments, they'll come to get you because you are your name. If you weren't your name, they would have kept you in the vault till the payments were made.
That's right.
Well, they don't have to keep you. They have your name. When I have his name, I have him. You see that, don't you? When I have his name, I say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. Now, here's a verse we've never quite understood because it has a comma in a funny place. We say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, comma, there am I. Now, let's take out the comma. Commas are not divinely inspired. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I.
Amen.
Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I.
Amen.
Amen. So when I go boldly before the throne of grace to get grace, mercy in time of need. And I say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. He says, it's Becky and Jesus are here.
Amen.
Because Jesus is in that name.
That's right.
Now, when they healed the man at the gate called Beautiful Peter and John, the man had asked for alms, asked for money. And so he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. And he said, in the name of Jesus. Now, when they questioned him how they did that, they said, by what power? By what holiness did you do this? He said, not by our power. In other words, he said, we didn't do this. We don't know how to do this. We couldn't heal him. They said, how'd you do that? He said, in his name, by faith in his name. Because when you say Jesus, 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 he says, I hear you, Becky, I'm coming. I hear you, I'm coming, I'm coming. The other day in the middle of the night, I was laying perfectly still, but my head was spinning like a top. I thought the whole house was moving. I don't know what happened to me. This affliction shall not arise a second time. You like that scripture? You claim it. I like it. And I got up, sit on the edge of the bed. And when I did, my world almost totaled out. And I said, Wayne. He jumped to his feet. I said, what is it, Becky? I said, the house is moving. And he came because I called his name. I wonder if you say Jesus, if he'll come. He said, in my name, there am I. He said, in my name, there am I. That's the name above every name. That's the name that all principalities and powers are under the foot of that name. And he said, you just take my name. You go to the Father in my name. He said, Father, Jesus said I could come. He said, what is it that you need? Our daughter does all our business. We're out of town a lot. She signs everything, handles everything. She just does that with my name. I can write my name. She can write my name. I don't even have to be there. She goes to the bank with my name. They honor my name. They give to her what she needs because she has my name. She has my name. Now, if that didn't work, I'd write my name, and then she and I and my name would go to all three of us to the bank together. Works every time. She's authorized, and they see on my account that Suzanne Williams is authorized to use the name of Rebecca Cumby. And they know that, and they honor that. She has my name. I gave her my name. I said, use my name. Pay my bills. Shift my money. Take care of my dog. She can take the dog to the vet. And when I get home, I get the bill. And all she did was use my name. Do you have his name?
Yes.
Do you have his name? Do you have his name? Jesus said, up till now, you've not done it this way. See, he was there in person. They needed tax money. They went fishing, and the money was in the mouth of the fish. They needed food. He multiplied the fish and the loaves. He was there in person, and he's going to be back at the right hand of the Father. He's not going to be there in person, but he said, in my name, there am I. And Peter and John knew that when they told that old boy at the gate, beautiful, rise and walk in Jesus' name. They knew Jesus was in that name. Back of that name, Jesus would reach out, stretch forth his hand to heal because the name had been spoken.
Yes.
Amen.
And when you speak that name, God says, I hear you.
I hear you.
of coming. I don't have to feel like he's coming. You know, I wasn't raised Pentecostal. I came to Pentecost in my 30s. Pentecost was totally new to me. Y'all Pentecostals, you all Pentecostals, really say some funny things. And one of the first things I heard is, you ever get up in the morning, you don't feel saved. I thought it's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Church I came from, we never felt anything, saved or unsaved. I thought, what in the world does that have to do? Never felt saved? Christianity is not a feeling, it's a father. Amen. It's not a need, it's an answer. Amen. Ask and it shall be given unto you in Jesus' name. That name came to Jesus three ways. First, it came by conquest. We have men who have great names. First president I remember is Dwight Eisenhower. It tells you how old I am. He was famous, became president, and his claim to fame was the great exploits of World War II. He was famous because of the military might. Well, here's Jesus in the bowels of the earth, face to face with Satan. And he comes up triumphant, lifted up out of the grave by the glory of the Father. And his name is famous. It represents conquest. It represents victory. And it says, I'm seated together with him. I died with him. I rose with him. And I'm seated with him. His victory was my victory. And when I say in Jesus' name, I'm coming with a name that always brings me the answer. That always brings me the victory.
Amen.
Now what's going to happen? Your body's going to say, feel awful, don't you? And your friends. I love friends. They're full of so much. You look awful. You all right? Isn't that what they do? Well, you say, I have the name of Jesus. I have the name of Jesus. I have the name of Jesus. In my name, there am I. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Whatever you desire, when you pray, you believe, you receive. Ask, it shall be given you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. This confidence we have in him, we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, how do you know that he hears you? How can you be sure God heard you? Jesus said, the Father always hears me. He said, the Father always hears me. He said, tomb of Lazarus, the Father always hears me. He said, the Father always hears me. He said, use my name. Father's going to hear you because of your association with the great King of Glory. Now, you got no reason to whine. So I'm done with whining. Look at your neighbor and say, are you quite finished? I have the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I have the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, so the Father always hears me. I was going through a grocery store and somebody hollered, Becky. I didn't pay attention. Nobody ever calls me just that one name. I'm either Sister Becky, Miss Becky. I mean, very seldom. My mother doesn't even say Becky, so I didn't pay attention. I went down this aisle and I heard it two or three times, totally ignored it. Came around the other aisle. I'm now between the fruit juice and the ethnic Mexican foods, when it suddenly dawned on me that might be me. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I turned around. Oh, it was someone from the church. And they said, I was just about to shout, Elder Cumby. I said, well, not usually called Elder Cumby, but that might have helped me to recognize that you were talking to me. He will come at the mention of his name. Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus. He always comes. He doesn't have any trouble recognizing who he is. And the day I stand and we say, Jesus, 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 I need a new stove. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God says, I hear you. And I'm coming. And before I see it, I believe it.
Yes.
And before I feel it, I believe it.
Yes.
And before I touch it, I believe it. When Suzanne was in music, sixth grade, seventh grade, whatever it was, she decided she'd play the flute. We didn't have the money to buy a flute. I didn't ask for the money, but my father called and said, "Do you have the money?" He suspected that we didn't have the money, and we didn't. He said, "Go ahead and order the flute. I'm coming with the money." So we ordered the flute. Suzanne said, "How are we going to pay for it?" And I said, "Granddad's bringing the money." We ordered it before we saw the money.
Amen.
And guess what? Granddaddy came with the money.
That's right.
Now I just wonder, if you placed an order from the God of glory, if you boldly approached the throne of grace with your need,
Amen.
If Almighty God would recognize the name that you possess, the name of Jesus, and before you saw it, before you sensed it, before you touched it, before your circumstances turned around, before your challenge ended, you would know, I have victory in Jesus. Because he's as close as the mention. Do you have his name? If you have his name, you have your answer.
Amen.
If you have the name, you have the answer. Because he's as close as the mention of his name. Jesus. Jesus. Ask, you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. When you go to heaven's door, Jesus' name is known there. E.W. Kenyon said, "It seems as if there was a name reserved in heaven for someone who would especially merit it. The name of Jesus is powerful because of the conquest and the defeat of Satan. It's a name that was bestowed or given upon Jesus, a name that was reserved for someone of great merit. And it's a name that was inherited. All three." Now say with me, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Say, "I'm through whining, Father.
I'm through complaining.
I'm going to ask and receive. I'm going to ask and believe.
I have your name, Jesus.
Father, I come in Jesus' name. And I know you always hear him. He's as close as the mention of his name." See, I fear sometimes when we pray, we use the name of Jesus because we always use the name of Jesus because that's what they told us to do. But so much more than that.
Amen.
The name of Jesus is your answer.
Yes.
It's the key to your answer.
Amen.
You can come in Becky's name. You go to the White House, go to the gate and say, "Becky sent me." See if they'll let you in. I can tell you my name's not known there. Well, they can check IRS records and Social Security and whatever. But President Bush and I have never met. I don't know the wife, don't know the children, don't know any of the people that surround him, don't know any of the guards at the gate. Just go up there and say, "Becky sent me." There's no power in my name in Washington. But when I go before the great King of Glory, I have the name. I have the name above every name. I have the name that heaven recognizes. The name to which all knee bows. Isn't this something that Jesus said, when you go to the Father in my name, he'll give that to you? That means the Father is just listening for the name of the Son. He's committed himself to answer every request prayed in the name of the Son.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
All I have to do is say, "Jesus. Jesus, there's something about your name. Master, Savior Jesus, that's the name." Do you have the name? Do you have it? Do you understand it's the most powerful name in heaven, earth, and hell? Do you understand the Father's committed to answer everybody that mentions that name? I read a story about a man's going to kill himself. Had his gun, had it all set up, had the house quiet. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. He closed the curtains. He's going to shoot himself. Doesn't want anybody to see. Pull the gun to his head. And the sunlight came through a crack in the curtain that wasn't this big. Hit the edge of that gun, shined in his eye, blinded him there for a minute, and he dropped the gun.
Amen. Amen.
And he decided not to do it. I wonder if God's big enough for your problem. I wonder if he's big enough for what you need. This is the God in heaven who sent us one little beam of light through the crack of the curtain, not even a half an inch wide, and had that beam of light come through that crack of the curtain, hit that gun, shine in that man's eyes, and it was all over. I wonder if God's as big as your problem.
Amen.
I wonder if the name is as big as what you need.
Amen.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. The cattle on a thousand hills. Mine.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Master. I wonder if God knows as many commands as that wonderful disability dog could do 125 things. I wonder if God can do more than that, or if that's his limit. I wonder if you say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. If he'll keep his word. Jesus said he'd answer. I wonder if he will or if he lies. If God's not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God never has a need to repent. Well, I'd like to get there myself, wouldn't you? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And he will do what no other friend could do. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. We thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you that you answer our cry in Jesus' name. We have no problem, no dilemma that you will not solve.
Yes.
When we come standing in faith on the word with the powerful name of Jesus, you always say yes. I know, Lord, religion says sometimes you say no, but we're going to reject that because it's not in the scripture. We're going to turn loose of that false idea, false concept, because that's not what you said. And we thank you that every need is met in this place tonight.
Yes.
Every word mentioned while ago before the throne of heaven comes to pass.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Amen and amen.